No, I think we do fade in on the beginning. So like, while we're aimlessly chattering to get things rolling,
like
just
right now,
roll in, and we'll have like theme music over top of it. Because every good thing in life has entrance music.
We have so many things that we need to figure out that we're probably just going to end up figuring out during the podcast, such as theme music and title of podcast and theme of podcast.
No, I think the theme is pointless. You can't really have a theme. I think the concept, as we discussed, is the fact that now that they've identified this new generation, this cohort, the Xennials, as we're calling it. I shouldn't say we're calling it. As the internet is calling it, which, as everyone knows, the internet is, I don't know. Right? Yeah, I guess so. Or it's the only source of information anymore now, because no one uses anything else.
I like that at our current studio here, we have two hot lamps that just sweat us out while we sit here. This is perfect.
Well, you could have that or no light.
All right, we'll go with the hot lamps.
Yeah, choices. Yeah, so Xennials, okay. So yeah, but the focus, right, is going to be about our micro... I don't even know what the word is I'm trying to use there, but our little cohort, our little...
it's like a subcategory between, what, Millennials and Gen X?
Isn't that so millennial, though, that we have to just keep labeling crap and breaking it down?
Yeah. Well, the human brain does process things compartmentalized much better than not.
Fair enough. So, to our listeners that may once eventually arrive...
Hi, Mom. I assume.
You just assume? I assumed so as well. I'm worried about who does, and then we have to hear about it. But, oh well. The fun part is we're doing it, and others aren't. So
I'm going
to
go back and edit out any names, places, any, you know, identifying marks, because if we anger anybody, I don't want them to find out who we are.
Oh, we're going to anger people.
Yeah.
Because seriously, I was going through Instagram today, which pretty much just angers me as it is anyways. I don't know why I keep social media, because all I do is I go through it and just get frustrated. And I was disappointed, because I found out one of my favorite... meme makers, I don't know what to call it.
You know somebody that makes memes, or is this
no website? It's success ambassador, because you know, that's, you got to try to be more successful in life. But anyways, what I determined today and came to the realization was that they're way more religious than I realized. And it was really it's just a letdown.
Do they make like those hang in there posters or something with the cat and the tree?
No, it's the modern take on it. A little more aggressive male mindset, I guess. So, and of course, I didn't... I liked it for the intents of... Okay, I'm going to like it. Intention of. So, I'm going to like it so we can get together and talk about it. And then I didn't want to like it and someone saw that I liked it. Is this... See the problems with social media?
It's like people not following Donald Trump.
Right.
They want to know what he's saying, but they don't want to have their number added to that. Yeah.
Well, the beautiful part is CNN will do all the work for you. So
there's actually Twitter accounts that all they do is repost what he puts up so that you can follow them, and then you feel better about yourself by not following Donald Trump.
I'm starting to feel that just makes it more famous anyways.
Yeah.
So how great is Will Ferrell, by the way? Just total side note.
Well, he's making Daddy's Home too, so I don't know how great he is anymore, but...
No, I just saw in the feed there one of those Saturday Night Live skits when he had the beard and the cowbell.
Cowbell, yeah. It's probably one of the most famous Will Ferrell sketches, I would think.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah, so anyways, no, back to the title. And for those that will listen at some point in time, a few things you have to understand is there's no flow, there's no rhythm, there's no script, and there's no, I would say, rules, but we're going to try to be respectful the best we can.
Did you actually say... that category, like the
Xennials, totally. It's not like a word
we skipped over. Well, I thought we started talking about it and then we just veered off. And
well, we're everywhere. So, title of the podcast is going to be based off that generational wedge as we discussed the other night when we were trying to go through the process of what we're going to do, what we're going to talk about, or even for that matter, what we're going to be called.
The unaired pilot that nobody will.
It's golden.
Know of.
It's gold. My wife walks down right in the middle of it.
Episode zero.
Yeah, total, like, shocked that I just walk in on a podcast, and which she did, so it was really funny. And your descriptors about learning how to work the kitchen, and how dangerous that was becoming for you at that time. So I thought that was very funny. And maybe someday we'll edit that and actually put it out there, but probably not. Because
it was...
I didn't delete it. I do have it. It's one of those gems.
Blackmail.
No, it was very funny.
Use it later.
Your concept of mixing Cheese Whiz and peanut butter together on a sandwich and you know, I didn't say anything, just let it roll, like that was normal. And, you know, even maybe even gave you the impression that other people may have done that, but I find it hard to believe anyone did. And if you did, honest to God, wow.
I think as a kid, I assumed two things that I enjoyed together would only be doubly good. I think that was probably the mentality. Much like, well, I like crackers and I like random condiments, but throw them all together into a soggy sandwich. You know what? I'm gross out already. Just thinking
about it. Yeah, I'm starting to really question the things that you made for yourself to eat. And
You gotta learn somehow.
I'll give you the kudos that you probably ate it. I know you're stubborn enough that you will eat it. So that's, you're not gonna waste
it. I didn't throw anything out. No.
No, you're not gonna waste anything. So we should probably update everybody what the hell a Xennial is, because that is kind of the concept of where we're gonna head here. As I'm still striving to find this, I'm still striving to find this meme because it really.
See, we're very prepared. The extent of our preparation was filling two glasses with alcohol and putting the mic up.
Yeah, I haven't had a pint in a few weeks. You haven't had a pint in a few weeks. Inevitably, like we stated, this podcast may just be an excuse to get together and have a pint. But
yeah, well, I'll wait for you, I guess. But I was gonna say. The thing that I remembered from what you told me the other day was that it was anyone born between 1977 and 1983, basically anyone born during the original Star Wars trilogy is part of this age group. Those who were born, what was it, born into analog?
Yeah.
And
grew up
seen,
with digital.
Yeah, right. So I'd seen before and after kind of the internet and computers and everyone's house and
we were saying you
cell
start-
phones.
You start with a rotary phone at home, you know, the kind that you can hit an intruder with and kill, to the point where you've got a touchscreen digital device that works for your home, your computer, your internet, and all that stuff. So we grew up with that, and we were talking about the advantages and why we're a superior generation.
Yeah.
I don't know if we necessarily put it that way.
I think we did. I think we were going to edit that out of that podcast, and now we'll edit it out of this one.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
But also... I remember those phones. You mentioned those phones. Like, do you know that, like, I don't think anybody owned those phones. I think you were technically renting them from Bell, and you were supposed to return them, and I don't think anybody ever did. But.
So just another way of getting ripped off by Bell, because it's already way too expensive?
Yeah. So this is the
and I could even get into
Bell Haters podcast.
Well, I was going to say, we can even get into the conversation. Why you even have a home phone? It's something that I wrestle with the concept. I'm being sold on the idea that you need to have it for the kids. That if they need to get a hold of 911 or whatever, it's easier to operate. But I do argue, unsuccessfully, I lose, but I do argue that they could dial on their cell phones.
I think it's easier to sell somebody on a cell phone than it is on a home phone at this point, because you could make the argument that there's no pay phones really anymore, or not nearly what there was when we were kids. Like you could, when we were kids, it'd be easy to find a pay phone anywhere. If you were in trouble, you could run to the phone, make a call or whatever. But now they're nowhere, so the cell phone makes more sense. But the home phone, I mean, everyone has their own cell phone, so.
Yeah, I started to think about pay phones. And the amount of traveling I do for work, I'm trying to think if I've even seen a pay phone. Which is ridiculous. You don't keep your eye out for it. I am now going to do that over the next week. I'm going to keep my eyes out for actual pay phones.
Right. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to find a pay phone. And then I guess also one that works.
Don't touch it, though. No. Because I think it's got to be absolutely vile.
It's probably somebody's home at this point.
I've picked up an awesome habit. I think it is.
Is it having a million things on Instagram to go through, looking for one post that we're going to forget about by the time the end of the podcast has come up?
I think that'll be the recurring theme of all podcasts.
Okay.
No.
It's like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel.
Exactly. No, but the habit is public washrooms. And
I don't know if we want to go down this road.
No. And using like paper towel or something like that to make sure you're using to operate doors and handles and that. And I'm not really a germaphobe, but I've just had enough travels now going into public bathrooms and seeing the people that are in them and realizing, and no offense to if you're any of those people, but some people just have questionable hygiene habits. And
complete offense to those people. I mean, I see people that leave the washroom, they go directly from the urinal out the door, and it's so upsetting, and it sets my OCD off like to the highest level.
Fair enough. So complete offense it is.
And then I can't tell anybody because it just makes men look worse than we already are.
Yeah, we are pretty bad. There's no denying that. I'm probably going to give up on this and find another podcast.
Yeah.
So back to the Xennial thing.
Yeah.
It just killed you. It pained you to have me do that, but, and we still know we're with it. That's probably why the problem is. So back to the category here, the Xennials. So 82 to 2004. So that's the whole generation of the millennials, right? You talked about the fact that, you know, more definitively 77 to 83. And so they're calling it a micro generation. Okay.
Micro generation.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah. 77 to 83, Star Wars trilogy, Xennials experience analog childhood, digital adulthood. Possess both the general X cynicism and the millennial optimism and drive. So we can be cranky, but then we also can be optimistic when it makes no sense. So we have a good balance between the two, which is pretty cool though, because I mean, it makes sense as you know, some of the stuff I do, during the day, you know, during my not night job.
Don't tell people you have a night job.
This is the night job.
Sex worker.
This is the night job.
Okay.
Right? Once a week at night, we break this thing out. We're never going to get paid for it. It's never really going to do anything for us. I eventually, as I declared to you before, is that Harry's Razors, if you're listening, I feel that we will become a real podcast once we somehow have you as a sponsor. And I think all I'd be looking for is a razor.
Yeah, Harry, if you're listening, I don't know how you got this.
Oh, I'll send it to him.
Okay. But, yeah.
Is it actually Harry? Probably. Who knows? It's got to be. Or it's a great name for a razor now that I think about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's possible. I didn't even think of that. That's terrible.
A Harry razor?
Let's move on to a different sponsor. who are those people with the bed in the box? Let's get them too.
I don't want to use that though, because I'm pretty touchy about the making sure I've got a high quality bed to sleep on.
Fair enough.
So, anyways, yeah. So the Xennial concept made a lot of sense to us, as you can tell. We suffer from some of the millennial problems that we can't focus, and we don't have our medication to keep us focused. So, like many millennials, but as I was saying, as I work with a lot of millennials trying to, you know, career paths and what have you, I noticed that I can't relate to them. I try, and I don't mean you, but I seriously take it as a kick in the backside when someone tries to tell me that I'm a millennial. I was kind of liking it at the beginning because it made me feel younger, as we're not necessarily on the...
We talked about this before, that I, up until like 2 days ago, because I didn't ever bother to actually research the term millennial. I just assumed it was somebody born in the 2000s because I assumed millennium. Anyways, so yeah, no, I cared even less apparently than you did because I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I never thought I was a millennial.
This all spurred up because of a, again, social media that I despise and somehow seems to drive a lot of my life.
I want it noted that you spent at least 5 minutes going through Instagram looking for something that you never did find.
I don't make me go back because no. You know my stubbornness.
It's better.
I will find it. So I it'll show up through here.
Anyways. I work in the tech field and I came prepared with pen and paper. You have a laptop and your cell phone in front of you. And you're the one that's saying that social media is a problem.
It is. And that is the problem, isn't it? So, anyways. So, when we were trying to determine whether or not we truly were Xennials and whether this was going to fit, and I still think the working name that has to grow this podcast, I know we were talking about that whole happy Zen mentality and putting that together, but I think more realistically, because I don't think we're always going to be happy. Let's be fair. You and I, we can crap on some stuff pretty hard. So, I think happy Zen is just people will be let down. We get on some topics,
right.
Some fun things.
Yeah.
Like when I talked to you about the whole idea of awareness days and awareness months, that's going to be a wicked session where I'm just.
I just assumed happy Zen was an ironic title and that we are never in fact happy. It's always just the opposite.
Well, I like the idea of everything Zen sounded good because also it was a song.
I feel like it's been used before. Where have I heard that? Well, yeah, that's right.
The song, but yeah. I mean, okay, that's I'm not counting on that. I'm counting on the fact that, you know, let's be fair. The name of our podcast will be whatever we Google search and the domain names available, Zen.
Right.
It'll be titled on the podcast. You would have clicked on the podcast to get into this part to listen to it, so you already know what the name is, so you're further ahead than we are.
And again, hopefully we're smart enough to register that domain before we release this unnamed podcast.
Which is also why at this point we haven't actually fired a name, because we needed a working product to figure out.
Yeah, I don't think they let you upload a podcast without a name, so I think we're... Yeah. When you get this, you'll have known the name.
We may have done this out of order. We started with the podcast, the name will follow, and then we will get the domain, I think, or something. Maybe, no, I... It's out of my realm.
I'm not sure how you heard this. This podcast never left this room. And, yeah.
Okay, so anyways. We pulled this out there tonight, and we didn't go through it, but I want to go through it. So we just kind of laughed because within, I think, November 3rd or November 4th, that Australian professor, university professor, declared the Xennial cohort or microgeneration, and, you know, it picked up more steam. I think it's floated around, the lucky ones, the Xennials has floated around for a little bit, but it got legs, I guess, because someone educated talked about it, not just the internet, and so it became something, and now it's really picked up steam. So we are totally hopping on that bandwagon with the declaration that maybe we're going to try to drive it a little bit. So probably not at all, let's be fair. We're just totally free ride,
man.
So anyways, how Xennial are you? We didn't go through this. So let's see. This is for the listeners as well, because either you're going to be able to relate to a lot of conversation and tones,
or you've already turned this off. So yeah, what?
You know,
no, you're right. They should wait until after the quiz,
the special prize at the end.
That's right. Everyone stick around.
The free giveaways from Harry's Razors.
I'm gonna have to put in the fine print somewhere that we guarantee nothing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through this. You use a dial-up modem to do school or university research, despite having been repeatedly told you couldn't trust anything on the internet. So, you're going to answer, because I've already kind of went through this with my prep that I did.
Right. Of course, I had dial-up internet in 1996. So I was doing that through high school. Yeah, that was definitely... And I mean, first of all, you couldn't find hardly anything, and what you could find was usually flashing text and weird animated, what are they, GIFs? GIFs? This debates it for another time, but like GeoCities websites and... But yeah, so it was all just random stuff, people making up their own websites, I guess, like now. But yeah, we were definitely told you can't use anything you found on the internet, because of course... And we talked about this a little bit before, like, teachers didn't know the internet, so they didn't know how to fact check or how to actually figure out if this is real. And, you know, there's probably a good chance that you could put in the URL of the website you got your information from, and they'd be like, great, I have no way of checking this because I don't have the internet.
I'm thinking back to some of our teachers and wonder if they even knew what the internet was. Or even we struggle even further to wonder how much they knew their PC, what it did.
Well, how many teachers couldn't get the VCR to work with the TV cart? So, I mean, I think that says a lot. You know, put it on channel 3, teach. Come on.
So true. Okay. Question 2. You remembered Boy George the first time he became famous.
I only know one time. No, wait. Do I even know that? Well, wait.
It's a good point. First time.
First
time was Culture Club, was it not?
Yeah, I almost... Was he in The Wedding Singer? Or was it a guy that just looked like him?
I'm going to go with he was, just to give him some street cred.
All right. Maybe that was the second time. So then I only know the first time.
Okay. You owned New Kids on the Block merch.
Loud and Proud. I had, I believe I had Step by Step on tape. I had one.
Now, did you own it or did you tape it off the radio?
No, I owned it.
Okay. Because at least if you would have taped off the radio, I could have like...
No.
No, maybe.
Actually, isn't taping off the radio worse? Because at least if I owned the tape, I could just pass it off that somebody bought it for me as a gift. If I taped it off the radio, I went out of my way to find that.
Fair enough. So, but it was such a trendy thing to tape off the radio, so I really can't declare that as a bad thing, because probably a lot of our listeners right now have spent that moment waiting on the top 40 countdown with the play record button ready to flash and hoping that DJ wasn't going to talk over the entrance of the song. Come on.
I mean, if you were hip, you were into New Kids on the Block for like 6 months, and then after that...
While wearing your Technicolor shirt, right? That had 90210 on it.
Acid wash jeans. This is going down a dark path. Let's just carry on.
All right, so following up, this led right beautifully into this. You made a mixtape for someone you fancied. Okay. And it was on tape. Well, obviously it was on tape.
Well, yeah. What are we, like, millionaires? I mean, CDs. Get out of here. Also, even if you had a CD player, nobody had a CD burner. Like, that wasn't something that was...
We assumed they got printed magically with the songs already on them, didn't we? Like, I didn't understand the fact that it actually cut laser cut into a disc.
I think it was... I'm sure for... At least for me, it was... I assumed making a CD was harder than making, like, putting out a movie, because I knew how you could copy a VHS tape. I certainly didn't know how you could copy it or make a CD. I don't think it was till like late 90s, maybe. You start seeing like people had like those CD,
the portable CD,
maybe burners. Earlier, yeah. Maybe early 2000s. Yeah, no, it was definitely tapes, definitely mixtapes.
Okay. You remember when floppy disks were actually floppy?
Yeah.
Commodore 64.
Commodore 64, even some early computer stuff. So, yeah, definitely.
Oh, my God. I remember getting games like King's Quest and it had like 17 of them or something.
Oh, yeah. Just like a whack. And then I remember when the smaller disc came out, the 3.5-inch ones, and you could get like 8 of the large size ones on it, like 2 of those. It was great.
It also makes me realize that the youth of today will never know our struggle. I love that line, but... It's so true. I mean, playing a video game. Look at the video. I mean, honestly, the video games are absolutely stellar. It's amazing. But when I think about the fact that we used to play video games where, like, you literally had to push the floppy disk in, turn it on, let it load, and then you would advance the screen or you advance part of the game, and then all of a sudden you had to wait for the new disk. You had to put the new disk in, turn it back on, let it load, just so you get the next action.
Well, and I remember there was games that came with, like, how-tos on, like, how to modify your startup files for your computer. Like, what... What kind of magic is required for a game where you've got to be like a half-decent programmer to get your game to work? And that's all Commodore 64 was. You had to run commands to get the thing to start, and then you'd leave the room for a half an hour while it loaded up, and then you came back and you could play your Burger Time or whatever.
All right. So you had one of the... Burger Time. You had one of these, and it's a Walkman with the actual styrofoam cushion headphones.
Is it the orange ones?
Yeah, I
figured it would be.
Let me turn the computer.
Yeah, the Sony ones probably, yeah.
Look at that, we both see the screen.
Oh, it's the blue ones, okay.
Back to prep.
But yeah, of course, that was I don't think I ever had a Sony, like a high-end one, but I definitely had a no-name one.
No, the yellow Sony snap case was like the thing.
Oh, wasn't that like waterproof or something? Like it was like the Active one or something?
Yeah, I was a fat kid. Active, that's not a thing. But anyways, yeah, we were there. You were able to get your full name without numbers or full stops into an email address at the beginning of the internet.
Damn right. Yeah. Well, I don't know the beginning of the internet, but yeah, certainly.
Your first computer games came on cassette tapes.
No, not me.
Okay, that aged
us. That's too far.
Yeah. This was your first computer game. Well, so we're looking at a quiz done on www.theguardian.com. So it's a backdated one, back in June. So they had this quiz.
It's a legit source.
I just thought I'd reference it again. Advertising.
This could all be made up.
It probably is, but I mean, it's all, we're answering yes to everything, so it does seem like it. Might
Except
be.
For this one, because I never played this soccer.
Well, 77 to 83. Look how much stuff changed. So if this was in 77,
but the Guardian's British, right?
Yeah.
So this would make sense that this was probably
crap video games back then.
A popular game in the UK.
Have they always had crap video soccer. Games?
Like, what do you mean? Who's like, they?
British.
I assume they have the same video games that we have now.
I just assumed everything's older. So, like...
They're years behind?
Well, the culture's older. The
there goes
older,
that audience.
The people are older. Like, everything's just older in general. I mean, listen, you can talk about age like fine wine and all that wonderfulness that comes with it. And you know I love my wide range of British fare. That's not the issue.
So you live in a
world... But I feel like their video games still look like this.
All right. So, if anybody from the UK is still listening... We're not saying that you're all old and have old technology.
No, it's like they hold on to stuff. Like I feel like you've
nostalgia.
If a war was to break out tomorrow, okay, like a crazy war to the point where people actually have to take up arms and they're not military. Like, okay, we can joke about what Canadians would be armed with in that, but I believe that you know the British would be armed a couple different ways. One, they'd have some sort of modern warfare weaponry.
Don't say musket. You're going to say musket. You're going to say they're going to come out with muskets.
No. I believe they would have something modern weaponry of some sorts. Mm-hmm. But I also believe they'd have like a cudgel or a mace, like and some armor. They would wear armor on top of having an M16. They would do the combo. I know, like we'd have like flannel Man. And stuff, but I just feel like that's how they go.
We've
at
offended
it.
So many people,
and I feel like they would have it in their house.
Happy. Remembrance Day weekend, everybody. Listen, as we discuss,
as we get to know people from around the world, uh-huh. what I find is uh-huh. that everyone assumes we have, as Canadians, we have hockey sticks in our garages, mm-hmm. which maybe we do.
We do.
And hockey equipment and skates. Mm-hmm. They assume we have snowshoes. They assume we have snowmobile suits. Actually, I'm struggling to find something.
I was gonna say, except for the snowshoes, and I mean, to be honest, we snowshoed in school as a phys ed activity.
It's because they had to make us go outside.
Oh boy!
And that's the way you only literally could go outside. Yeah, fair enough. But okay, well, as they generalize to us, I'm generalizing to them. So that's what I feel like. They would all have tunics with a red cross, possibly modernized to the red rose kind of idea.
I hope somewhere in the UK they're doing a podcast right now about how they assume all Canadians are in the igloos and whatnot. At least that will be balanced and the world will be a better place.
So anyways, you can remember when this amazing phone came into being. So question 10 for those that are following along and still here. It's like a Nokia slide phone. It's amazing. It's awesome. It was inspired by The Matrix, was it not?
It certainly looks that way. Although The Matrix one, I think, was a push button where you hit the button and the bottom slid out. That one looks like you might have to manually do
it. This is also making me think of something that really bothers me on movies. Why in movies do they always throw out phones? They're expensive. Now, am I wrong on this thought process? I mean, a cell phone is anywhere between $200 and $600. In a movie, they throw them in the garbage like all the time. Or like in rage, they throw it to the ground. And then 20 minutes later, someone just hands them a new one. Like, it's an easy thing to acquire.
Well,
how does it even work?
It could be that people in movies are, what's the word I'm looking for? Not real, and they just don't care. Also, are they drug dealers? Because, you know, they have burner phones. They toss those all the time.
Look, I only discovered what a burner phone was from Breaking Bad, and then understood how that worked.
There you go.
So, but I'm talking about movies before that they did that. Like, it was just a thing. They're mad.
I thought you were going to say, why is it on TV they always use their phone on speakerphone? But that's a different thing.
That's another question for another day. You never thought it was weird that Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Sunnydale had the kind of internet that allowed Willow to constantly hack the mayor, but no mobile phones.
I'm the guy that didn't watch Buffy, so that one does not apply to me.
I didn't watch it, but we can also talk to the terminology that through the 90s, everything was about hacking.
Oh yeah, like I remember seeing like the net, and the net is the weirdest. Well, again, it has no point of reference now because everyone probably is too young to remember, but I remember in the net, she had Wolfenstein 3D playing, and I think she like hit a key combination and clicked in the corner and somehow got into like some sort of secret government file, which is so bananas. And she also ordered pizza off the computer in 1994, which seemed really ahead of its time, but it seems pretty commonplace now. But
yeah, well,
but yeah, you could hack anything. You had the net, you had hackers. That's it. I mean, really, do we need any more?
There's probably more.
There's a lot more.
You know what I love about this end of our generation, this millennial that is growing up with us, that is, you know, a decade or more younger than us, they don't even wrestle with the concept of the term hack because it seems so out of place. They understand that the internet is completely owned and operated by the government, and anything that's out there is not really free, so it doesn't really matter. They've already accepted that. We grew up with a generation that thought they had control over the internet, and they were the ones transferring the information around. Kind of fun. Another cool thing we grew up with, the delusions of society. But anyways, that's another day.
Yeah.
you had or still have a Hotmail account.
Not me. That's you, buddy.
Yeah. I had Hotmail. I have Hotmail.ca. Just Canadianized it. You can still remember your landline number.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it out here.
I think I remember your landline number. You got super excited when a rich neighbor or friend got a car phone. Oh.
No, because we were that neighbor, yeah, sort of, so not as much.
It was
a business expense, I guess. I don't know. Not like I got to use it. I saw it.
I thought it was exciting.
It was the first time I saw a phone that had speakerphone.
It glowed that awesome green. I can't even describe that. Anyone that's owned a vehicle made in the late 80s, early 90s, that dashboard green. Yeah. You know, Pontiac, GM models. Anyways. You have a surprisingly high tolerance for reply all email chains.
I don't think it was until I actually started doing email for work that I realized how insane that was, that people would hit reply all and you'd have like 50, 100, 200 email addresses in like the to field. And you're just like, why are you giving everybody's email address away? And then somebody hits reply all and then, you know, like this wasn't for me. And they hit reply all and then 300 people get that email and it just goes on and on and on and on. But yeah, I agree.
I can't say I had much difficulty. I didn't have much difficulty with that. But you can remember when you first heard about a website called Google. I kind of find it hard to imagine not having Google. But anyways, when Google first came along, and before that you had to ask Jeeves, or before that, it was the World Book Encyclopedia.
Well, I'm sure we both can admit that we used the World Book Encyclopedia on CD, I think.
I also believe because it was called an encyclopedia, it was a legitimate reference.
It's true. And I used Yahoo a lot. Yahoo was the big one when we got the internet.
I can't imagine thinking back to a time when you opened the internet to a browser and it didn't start with Google.
Well, and I remember like Yahoo was like the search bar, but what you actually ended up using was they would just have categories below the search bar for different, you know, you'd have like arts and entertainment and
narrowing it down.
And you would just click on things and it would just be a list of sites. There was that few sites they could just list it.
This is you because I did not watch this show. You still get upset thinking about the premise of Party of Five.
Look, that, I don't know. Nobody would let those kids live by themselves. That's all I'm saying.
I don't even know what the show was about, but I can't say anything because I watched something just as bad, probably.
It's for another day, but so, yeah. Hey, you know what? They all went off and did great things after that show. Except maybe Scott Wolf. I don't know. He did Double Dragon, the movie. That was fantastic.
Oh, I just thought of a later episode. We talk about video game movies that didn't work. Because that list is going to be most long. Yeah. And it's contentious points of view in there, probably. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you can't remember which of these Coreys was your first movie star crush. We had a conversation about this the other day. I couldn't remember the name. It's Corey Feldman is the one, and then I couldn't remember the name of the other one.
Corey Haim.
Haim, yeah, exactly. And I know one went on to do other movies and one didn't.
Corey Feldman is now claiming that Charlie Sheen had inappropriate relations with Corey Haim.
Really? I haven't even kept up to that. Yeah. I'm the guy on social media.
Yeah, I mean, Feldman was the guy. He was in everything. Haim was in stuff, but it wasn't like Corey Feldman was in Friday the 13th. He was in The Burbs. He was in
Burbs. That's when movies were awesome.
All sorts of
was that
cool
when,
stuff.
Isn't that when everything from like 83, 84 to like 91 was made by John Hughes? Like everything?
He certainly had his finger on the pulse of every film
the other day,
that made money.
There was two Hughes brothers, wasn't there?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, I don't know. Not that I'm aware of.
There's a conversation about the brothers. I was listening to a podcast about the...
Maybe there's other Hughes brothers. It's probably a fairly common name.
Well, it was the two guys that... the brothers that made Stranger Things.
Those are the Duffer brothers.
Yeah, and they were talking about how they were inspired by the Hughes brothers. And that it all went weird when one of them broke off on their own. So I have to
Now I have
that.
To do some research on the...
Well, you're the one that said you prepped.
Hughes brothers.
You're the one that said you prepped everything.
Yeah, I'll take notes.
You were actually scared the first time you saw the Goonies.
No, we talked about this before too. Like, I think the mom was the scariest thing. Like, maybe Sloth, but that mother was pretty crazy, so not really.
I also don't believe that woman ever aged. I think she was born like that, and then there might have been some senior years, but that was after that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the evil mom in the Goonies, and I don't even can reference the other movie she's been in, but you know what she looked like?
She was
like?
In other stuff.
She looked just like that.
You know, her kids was what? Joey Pants was one of the kids, and the other guy was always a villain in movies, but yeah.
I feel like they were both in Dick Tracy.
I suppose we could look this up later, but...
You remember calling friends on the family landline and having to say hi to their mom and dad first.
Yeah, because not everybody had a cell phone. You had to actually call the community phone, and it had to be not busy.
I've decided I'm going to do this to my kids no matter what. That if they have cell phones, which I'm still really holding back on this whole them having technology... But when they have cell phones, I'm going to answer their cell phones first.
Oh, that'd be great.
I
really weed out a lot of people because the first thing that comes out of the mouth is really going to dictate whether you want those people to talk to your kids.
It's going to be awesome. So whether it's call forwarding or something else, we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
You thought call waiting was the technological advance of a generation.
I was trying to think of this yesterday because I think most phones didn't have a call waiting button when it first came out because it was so new. So everything was like a star code, like we were saying, star 69 to find out who called you last.
Didn't you have to hang up lately to get on call waiting? Like you had to just touch it?
Yeah, there was something because there was like,
up on people
you
a lot.
Tapped the hang up, but
flash,
yeah.
Flash.
Yeah.
It was flash on, if you had a cordless phone, it was flash.
I love that this was like, you had to have an instruction manual on how to do this, but.
What I loved was it finally gave me a reason why there was a flash on my phone. I had no idea what it was about other than it just made the screen light up.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say screen, these are push buttons that just flash red from like not being colored. So
you had a fancy phone.
Yeah. So
did I win?
Yes, you are a Xennial. It's 100%. So
you have proven that I am born between 1977 and 1983.
What's about proving?
That and my birth certificate.
There it is. Yes, mix between the pessimistic Gen X and the optimistic millennial. Boy, can you tell on this side of the tables this podcast is going
to
roll on?
I know what you're talking about. I come from a generation where you were still allowed to laminate your birth certificate, and you can't do that now. Anyways.
Well, it is kind of entertaining to see where this is going to go. So as we move forward, the plan, the agenda, the thought process is to bring across what's current, what's on our minds, what's on possibly someone else's mind, maybe others, even multiple people's minds. We're going to dig into stuff from basically our generation, our micro generation. We're going to talk about things like, well, obviously, we were both video game junkies as kids. Not so much now. Well, you are a little bit, I guess. You still try to keep up, but I feel as absolutely out of place now with today's video games.
I don't have enough time to be. I think you get to a point where, I don't know, as a kid, we didn't realize that you were just going to run out of time. Like, who has time for that? I don't know. I don't know.
But I want to see what the effects are in these conversations, because something that is becoming very, very apparent with this micro generation is that we grew up with change. Everything we're using today, we've operated the early incarnation of it. You know, we operated the first PC, the first home computer.
We're like beta testers. We're like, hey, here's a cell phone. It weighs as much as your left arm, but it'll sort of work if you are on top of a hill.
Yeah, but
and the radiation will give you tumors, but...
But we get to
so
work.
We gotta test it out on somebody.
We got to work with a lot of the neat things along the way in developing a lot of love-hate relationships with stuff. You know, I look at the kids being born in the past 10 years. They're being born with Facebook, with they're being born with their parents shoving them on Facebook, taking pictures of them all the time. And it's commonplace. So as they grow into young adults, the concept of Facebook is a thing that they're over and done with. They don't even care about it. They don't want to touch it. And they go into all these other short attention span type things like Snapchat and Instagram and probably other stuff out there I'm not even aware of. So you see that progression, right? We have come along from the beginning of all this stuff, and we're going to keep riding this wave. Like, we're going to see all of it. And even if we become a little bit out of touch with it, the thing is, we're still going to be capable of at least somewhat understanding it, or at least somewhat relating to it, or at the very least downloading the app and giving it a whirl and then calling it stupid and starting to act like we're older than maybe we are.
I think the other thing, and maybe not as much now, but I think it's probably fading a little bit, but I think because we came from a time when we did first get internet, it was dial up and slow, we probably have a lot more patience for things on the internet taking some time. Like, I'm sure kids now, like, if the page doesn't pop up in like half a second, the blink of an eye, they probably just throw the laptop across the room.
I know people are usually that do that too.
Yeah, well, that's I think it's fading. But and I think the thing with Facebook, I think it's not cool with kids because their parents are on it, much like the internet was cool when it first came out because no one's parents knew how to use it, really. So it was like this cool place where you could go, like a secret club, and now everyone's mom's on Facebook, and, you know, that everyone's, there's no, I mean, there is places on the internet that people's parents aren't on, but it's kind of sketchy.
I'm looking at, in Twitter, there's another one. Twitter's a neat one that seems to balance in between everyone. It doesn't want to go away. It has some value. But as I'm going through, just sliding through here a little bit on stuff on Xennials, I love it. Breaking: scientists discover new species of younger generation for old people to be irrationally angry at.
I'll take it.
You know what? It makes me think of I was speaking at a conference going back, well, a while ago, anyways, and it was very predominant at that time. I was being classified as a millennial because everyone in the room was probably older than my parents. And I'm speaking to these individuals, and the conversation, they wanted me to deliver some sort of educational piece to help, you know, move the conference along a little bit. Anyways, so the thing I spoke to was how to speak to millennials. And it was funny because I turned it on its head, because the concept, right, the generational gap that was probably always existed in society, but the generational gap that was sitting there was about how millennials are, you know, entitled and this, and you know, they short attention spans, and they don't want to work hard, and they don't want to get their fingers dirty, and I mean, all this crap. And the reality is, you know, the real problem is with our generation in particular, maybe our little micro generation, but we grew up doing hard work. We grew up having to get our fingers dirty because the other options weren't there yet. Then we got the opportunity to have the other options. So we've always had a wide array of both. So I've always found it offensive when they started throwing these generalizations out there into that combination. The other thing I think we're extremely good at, and it's not just us. I'm going to give some millennials some credit here too, which is kind of hard, but multitasking. We can do a lot of things at once. And, you know, there's the old adage that you see it told by your teachers is that don't try to do two things at once because you can only do two things average. And, you have to focus on one thing at a time. Well, I call bullshit to that because with our multitasking skills, we've been able to do quite a bit, multiple things at the same time well. And now that we're adults with jobs and careers and our friends have careers and you start looking at what they're doing and all that, guess what? To be successful in this day and age, you have to multitask because that older generation expects us to do three or four things at once really, really well. Meanwhile, they're still in that personal mindset of one thing at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen arguments for both sides of that where I've seen arguments that indicate that we can't actually multitask and we're just doing everything badly when we're multitasking. I don't know if it's multitasking or if it's just we're keeping track of individual tasks and then we just shut our brain off for one thing and go on to the other one. So it is multitasking, but I don't think you're technically doing them both at the same time. But I don't know. It's true. I think we're expected to do more because we have done more. So I think when you don't multitask, you don't do a lot of things at the same time, then they get confused, even though, you know, they're not doing that themselves. So who knows? And you've now found somebody that's taking ownership of the term Xennial?
Well, again, back to our generation. So now they're trying to take ownership of it, made it up 3 years ago, blah, blah, blah. You know, let's be fair. I think to summarize it, and we kind of touched on it a bit in pieces here, I think it's easy to identify that within a generation, which are pretty large spans, I mean, generations are 20, 25 years long, there's a lot of evolution even within any generation. I don't care what demographic we're taking this from. Like, if you look, well, we just have Remembrance Day, and if you think about some of the individuals that were born post-World War I, you know, the world they were born into and then having to grow through World War II or previous to that, you know, you always grew up quicker. The further we go back in history, it's pretty evident that everyone grew up quicker, but because part of surviving involved growing up. But with those growth and spurts and changes with any generation, I think a generation is a really big label, and I think there is micro generations easily, and they're usually probably defined, in the past, they've been defined by world events. Now, I think what we define them by is probably technology.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is probably the world event that's happening to drive things forward. I mean, we're not going to get a micro generation that is defined because, you know, Trump became a president. Even though it's probably a world disaster.
No, but we'll probably get a micro generation that was born after the iPhone came out or after like touchscreen phones came out versus those who had seen a flip phone before, you know, those came out. Like, you're going to have kids that only know that and never had anything before that.
It's going to break that generation up big time. I think maybe one of the conversation pieces that has to go into this too is that generations, you know, originally defined under these 20-25 year windows might have to change and actually be, you know, shrunk essentially.
Well, like you said, if they're going to split them up based on something other than world events, then yeah, I mean, you're going to get kids that probably not too far in the future, you're going to have kids that don't watch movies on physical media. They're only streamed. They're only on Netflix. They're only on iTunes or whatever. And they've never seen a DVD or obviously VHS at this point, but you know, like a DVD or Blu-ray, it's only going to be Netflix or streaming.
And exactly. And how I mentioned before how our generation has been growing with this massive technological growth all the time and we grow with it. I think a really great example. So this year, sit down, make it a Christmas list, or trying to make a Christmas list. As an adult, it becomes incredibly challenging. You didn't think it would ever become challenging, but now it is. Maybe not for you. You're rolling your eyes as if it was simple.
Anyways. The top of my list is time. I want time. Can you give me time? I don't know.
But what was, like, you think back not even 10 years, always populating your Christmas list, movies,
mm-hmm.
right? This year, you're sitting there, and I will openly admit, you know, my wife says to me, she goes, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm thinking about it. And she goes, well, you probably don't want any movies. I'm like, no, because between Amazon Prime and Netflix and, you know, just, I wouldn't even say regular TV anymore. You know, I run Kodi as well, the Amazon box, that kind of stuff. And I can find anything I want now. I don't really have to, you know, worry about it. And even then with sports, you know, I started watching rugby, and I'm finding rugby on YouTube very, very easily, and I'm getting some great quality stuff. And everything streams HD, wireless through the house. I mean, it's not even like that's a crazy thing anymore. It's pretty common now, too. So,
yeah, I mean, there's definitely arguments for and against it. There's a good documentary called Rewind This that talks about physical media for movies, mostly talking about VHS and DVD and that sort of thing, and how it's going away, and how every generation of physical media movies have not made it. So there's movies that only came out on VHS, were never re-released on DVD, and never made it past DVD to Blu-ray. But the idea being that if you have all your movies on streaming media, then you don't really own it. So if somebody at the company that you're streaming your media from decides that one day they're going to pull it or they're going to change it, you don't own it. So, I mean, for something, if you're only going to see it once, it's certainly fine. I think for something where you want to watch it again and again, or you really, I guess that's really what it is, something you want to watch again and again and you really enjoy it, then to own it's probably a better way of doing it. But certainly the streaming thing is way more convenient. And I think that's another thing where we can appreciate that it's mind-blowing that I can hit a button and then a movie starts. Like, that is so crazy, because going from kid, I'd have to hop on my bicycle, and it could be like, you know, this weekend where it was freezing cold, I'd have to hop on my bike, go down to the store, rent a movie, hope it was in. If it was in, I could rent it, take it home, hope that it hadn't been ruined or burned out or somebody screwed it up. You know, so, I mean, now I can just flip through, and now the problem is that there's just too much to watch and nobody knows what to do about that, but a different story.
I love how you actually try to populate an argument that stated that if a service provider took it away from me, that I would no longer have it. I would just go to Google, or I'd go to YouTube, or I'd go to, there's so many options to find it. I don't feel like it ever goes away now. I feel like, in fact, when something comes off Netflix, I go, ah, it's off Netflix. I would just go to another source to find it, because yeah, it will be there. As much as the physical entity is gone, the way the
it'll be there if people copy it, but then that's the same as having physical copies of it. But I mean, somebody has to do that. Somebody has to actually, you know, make time for that. So I mean, it's easier for stuff that's more popular, certainly for stuff that.
So you're saying we're still stuck with society needs to play record?
I mean, they are. You know, a lot of these places that you're streaming stuff from is just ripping, you know, streaming media, or they're camcordering off of a theater, but different story altogether.
I can't even believe that's a thing anymore, but I guess someone still has to do it.
Well, I know for a long time you'd see all those DVD screeners that would get leaked, and then you'd be watching a movie, and then across the bottom it would be like, you know, this is for Academy members and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah. Wow, cool. I'm an Academy member now.
Yeah. So I just realized that we're now, oh, I don't know, let's ballpark it, 47 minutes into this podcast, and I don't think we actually said who we were.
But that's the point, isn't it?
Awesome. Well, let's just be two mystery people.
It's just Adam and Matt.
All right. Well, do we even do that?
Well, we just did.
All right.
So I'm Adam.
I'm Matt.
There you go. All done. Right. I envisioned, like many podcasts I follow, they have like a cool cover.
Yeah.
And
we'll be sure to hire somebody to do that right after this.
Oh, well, I will figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like a hand sketch, and we take a picture of it.
All right. Well, then the other thing we have to do is get you a stool that doesn't squeak, because
your
stool
is picking up a lot, do you think?
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll get some Jigaloo for it or something. Jigaloo is better than WD-40. It works better. It leaves no grease and residue behind, and it just works.
I thought you just made it up.
No, it's a legitimate thing. It's a Canadian product, too, I think.
Yeah,
sure. Take that.
Yeah.
All right. So, although we didn't really cover our structure at all, the goal... The goal is always to not cover the structure, because I think if we become structured, we become predictable, and become predictable, people are not going to listen. And we got to like grasp at anything we possibly can to garner listeners. So we can't have a formula.
Unless we do something that people like, we'll just do that every time, because we'll sell out like that.
All the time.
Every time.
Yeah. So what are the concepts you came up with? Because I think you just like to try to make me have to do something, because as the two of us, I'm probably the laziest who does the least. With that being said,
no evidence. I can't say one way or the other.
Well, maybe. Yeah, your equipment, your notes,
whatever.
We keep going. So, but anyways,
just selling yourself down the river. Yeah.
My wit and charm.
Sure.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, you came with this concept of homework, and so I'm gonna let you launch the first homework. What our first homework is, and so the concept behind this, and I really like this idea. Is that we are going to leave on a talking piece for something to go back and do a little bit of research on over the course of the next few days before we get together again. And when we come back on, we will open with our homework. And maybe over time, we start getting listeners to either throw us their ideas of what they want to hear for the homework concepts. If they want to participate in the homework, we would love that. It's going to be some pretty opinionated and subjective stuff. So you have your own view, your own opinion, and you know, it'll be fun to see where that comes from. And it's going to be very generationally focused, we said, because we're just going to keep it to the stuff we kind of grew up with.
Yeah, stuff that should... something you would have experienced in being in that generation. So usually stuff probably from, you know, as a kid, probably maybe more. But now, because I don't think we actually went into detail on this when we were thinking about this. Are we both going to have something for the homework, or are we just going to do one
thing? I think you throw the question out, we both come back with our answers, because okay. They're pretty much going to be reflections of two different opinions on these things.
Yeah, so, no, I would hope so. Yeah. All right, I got a couple ideas. Let me see.
Just pick one. You only get one, because you know what? I'm an adult now, and I don't like homework. And I don't want a lot of homework, but I'm willing to partake on this for the simple fact that I know I can Google it. You're not going to spoil my references, and maybe I have some of my own thoughts as well.
All right. Well, this is going to be completely personal, so you won't really be able to Google it necessarily. Well, you could Google it if you need to, you know, remember, because your memory's shot, probably like mine is. I was going to go with... See, now I forget the basis we're going to do the homework, but I was thinking maybe something like, well, actually, this was your idea, so I'll use this one because I know this one fits. Well, I've modified it, but it's, so I'm going to go with the first show that you watched that you weren't supposed to watch. Show, not movie, show. So something that maybe was for an older age group and you snuck to watch it, maybe watch it when your parents were out, maybe you had a TV in your room or somewhere where... they couldn't see.
Oh, so like the TV shows that are on 8 or 9 o'clock on a weeknight kind of
Yeah, pretty much. Because, yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's aging us probably. But, yeah, so the first TV program that you watched that you knew you weren't supposed to watch, but you did it anyways because, you know, it was cool or hip. And, I mean, I'm sure your experience is the same as mine, where there's definitely shows where kids at school were watching that, and then if you didn't watch it, you weren't.
Oh, my God, you just made me feel really old because nothing came to my brain quickly. It's well, like,
yeah, you got to think about
rolling
it.
In very slowly.
Because I think the problem is looking back at it now, you're like, well, what show wouldn't I be able to watch? But you got to put yourself back there. You're like, I'm not supposed to be watching this or that. And, you know, I remember this isn't one of them, but I specifically remember this date. I was at a friend's house and it was the episode. I don't remember the characters' names at all, but it was Shannon Doherty's character on 90210 was going to have sex, and it was the first time on the show that they, because it was the first time.
You know what the funny part is?
It was like very special, Beverly Hills 90210, and I remember that coming on, and I remember being at the friend's house, and it was her, and her mom was like, okay, I'm going to let you guys watch this, but if you have any questions, you can come out. Like, it was very like... It was like, this is an adult thing to watch. And like the show was on at like 8 o'clock at night, I think. I don't even think it was on that late. But I just remember that one being very vivid. But I mean, there was mine will be something different. But I just remember that being one example of something where it was kind of not necessarily something you're supposed to watch.
It was neat about that. It's making me think about how out of touch we probably were with what we were watching or getting access to watch. Because now as a parent, I think about what my kids watch and what I let them or try to get them to not watch. Or when I look at what they are fed for television, it's become some big events when stuff happened on television, right? So you think of some of the big events in television, they become big media things. Back then, those things probably were big media things, but we didn't watch the media part. We just watched the show, so we had no idea what the relationship was.
No, the best thing we had was like the commercial that would be on like on a very special Beverly Hills 90210.
But wasn't that every week?
And it'd be like suicide or like, yeah, birth control or something. Or like
suicide, birth control, and or
like
pregnancy.
A very special Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and it was like Will's father comes back, and it, you know, that was a notorious episode.
Oh my God! Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well. Okay. We'll leave it with that. That's going to be really making me have to hit the old memory Google button to recall where that could be. I'm feeling like it might have been Married with Children, but we're going to have to do a little more digging on that.
Oh, yeah. That could definitely be it.
I'm thinking Fox Sunday nights at some point in time, probably probably push some boundaries. So
yeah, we'll get into that then. But definitely Fox, especially when early Fox Men started, compared to what was on,
Fox was so good.
Definitely not designed for kids at all.
And you know what? Just on that topic, Fox has tried to hold on for so long with the same formula. If it wasn't for Seth MacFarlane, I don't even know if Fox would exist on television anymore.
What season of The Simpsons are they on now? Like
700.
Like, end it. Just stop.
Well, with end it, we're going to do that. We're going to wrap this up. So we'll start with a thanks for hanging around, and we'll talk to you guys next time. And I think we're going to go with thanks for enjoying Everything's End.
Look at that, 55 minutes. We did excellent. Until next time.